Brett Hollander alongside the Missile, Kadri Ismail, here on a Tag Team Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us here tonight. Baseball has a new commissioner, their 10th in their history. It is Rob Manfred. He will replace Bud Selig, who will last in the job about 23 years when he departs in January. So an amazing run for Bud Selig. One thing that it would be hard to argue against is record-setting revenues for Major League Baseball. And joining us now to talk about that and much more is Maury Brown from Forbes. Maury, thank you so much for being on the program.
Hey, well, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with your reaction to the voting of Rob Manfred. I was there for most of the day today, right before they actually named Manfred. I think, as you know, it took just a little bit of time there, Maury, but they eventually get their man, the front runner all along. Your reaction to that?
Well, I think if you listen to Manfred's comments afterwards, he made it very clear that what this is about is really trying to extend somewhat the legacy of what Bud Selig has done. You know, there are certainly individual things that many of us can be critical about Selig. But, I mean, you mentioned it at the outset. I mean, the growth in revenues, the labor piece, those things were ultimately going to be important to the majority of the owners. It took a couple votes to get there, but even after the second vote, when they basically he needed 23 votes in favor of him, afterwards everybody voted in favor of him to make it look completely unanimous. So, I mean, it is. It's really Manfred kind of as the proxy for Bud Selig and extending the Selig legacy.
And so what is the Selig legacy? We see a lot of, I guess, controversy behind some of the things that Bud has done. What are we going to see as far as moving forward with Rob Manfred kind of making sure that the good of what Selig was all about remains in place?
Well, I mean, I'll come back to that big thing, which is labor peace. I mean, by the end of this current collective bargaining agreement in 2016, we'll have 21 years of labor peace. And that's an extraordinary thing for those that have followed the history of Major League Baseball with the lockouts and strikes. I mean, we lost a World Series, and basically the whole 1994 season was basically harpooned. So, I mean, that's, I think, the key thing. And with it, you know, we've seen just incredible growth in revenues for the league. It's going to be $9 billion this year, and when Selig took over, it was $1.2 billion. And even when you account for inflation, it's an incredible thing. But there's certainly things that Manfred will have to address. I mean, Tom Werner, who was the other guy running up against him, I mean, there were some things about him and things that he said that I think was a real concern for the owners. And those will be things that I think Manfred will take very seriously as he moves forward.
It's a very interesting thing here, Maury. Maury Brown from Forbes and also the president of the Business of Sports Network is with us here on WBAL. Clearly, the majority of owners, the vast majority, and in the end, unanimously elected Rob Manfred, basically saying we like the money coming in. He's the most qualified guy. It would be ludicrous to change course here. I'm a huge baseball fan. I love the game a ton. It's almost hard to put into words how much I love the game. And I see all that's good with it, but I'm not naive either. You printed the Nielsen ratings locally a couple weeks ago. They're off the charts. 12 markets are number one right now in prime time, and then one market's number two, and then six others are in third place. And, yeah, some of the bottom feeders, D.C., Dallas, San Francisco, the Mets, the Cubs, the L.A. Angels market, these are huge markets that might be towards the bottom in the rankings, but we're still talking major markets that have close to 100,000 nightly viewers in the middle of the summer to watch baseball over the course of 6 months. An astronomical number when it comes to local television ratings. But we all know that there's been a steady decline in national baseball TV ratings, and the playoffs in particular. That concerns me. That worries me. To me, there needs to be a direction of marketing, like the National Football League has, that affects and impacts all 30 clubs to make sure that the ratings nationally don't dwindle anymore. And also has to focus to kids. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and those are absolutely the key issues, I think, that the owners saw as well. And I think that most of us do. I mean, regionally, baseball, everybody, I guess you could look at it this way, everybody loves their home team, right? Everybody loves their winner. Everybody roots for the home team. Nationally, the relevance of baseball has dropped. And that is, I guess, the concern. How do you weight the success of any business? And when it comes to something like this, it has a national, you know, footprint. And it has, you know, was once upon a time the national pastime. It was something that everybody had an interest in. And I don't know, yeah, part of me says that this is a change in how we're able to consume baseball now that we never did before. Before, we all had the game of the week, right? We all sat around and we waited for that game to come on. Well, now, pretty much any day of the week, any of us can flip on the television and catch a game. You know, and not only just your game, any game, you can normally catch your home team unless you're, you know, caught in the blackout kind of crossfire.
Right.
But that those are things. As far as kids go, that's a real issue. And that I think, has a lot to do with the change in the attitude of the country. I mean, we like a more faster-paced life. We have a faster and more filled calendar than we ever did before. And I think that's affected kids at large. It takes more money. It takes, you have to have a group of 9 kids. Any kid can walk down to a basketball court and get in a pickup game, even if it's one-on-one. And you can't do that with baseball. So that's changed a lot. And I don't know how you rectify that. I mean, at the core issue, baseball is a very different game in terms of its relevancy than it was prior. And that has a lot to do with just the speed and the nature of how fans are and how kids are.
Yeah, I do think this is the big issue in some ways. It's about the future of the game, and plenty of kids are playing. If you look at the Little League numbers, the high school numbers, and the collegiate numbers, divisions 1, 2, and 3, they're not hurting for participants right now. And I'm not comparing the national ratings of 2014 to anything we used to have. You can no longer do that. There's just an oversaturation of the marketplace, and it's not just in the television world. Now I can watch baseball on my phone or my iPad or anything else. And so you really can't compare any sort of TV ratings. You can't compare NBC Nightly News of today to what Tom Brokaw inherited however many years ago. It's a different universe. So we're trying a different formula, but that doesn't mean they should always be trying to search for new customers in some way.
Yeah, and this is the thing why I never thought, and this is no offense to Mr. Warner going up against Manfred, but I could never get that idea that, he was going to be the silver bullet to take care of this problem. I mean, I really don't. I mean, that would have been to ignore the change in the landscape and how we consume television and you mentioned the other media availability that we have now. I mean, it would be to have to ignore that. I don't know how you quite do that. I mean, you need to engage kids. And you need to try and make it better. I will give this to Tim Brosnan, who was the third candidate who dropped out this morning before the vote started to take place. He's the executive VP in charge of business. He got stuff like the MLB Fan Cave on MTV and created that, and that has been a real boon and a way to reach out to a younger audience. So they're going to need to try and continue to tap that. Anything that can make, I think, the players more stars and look more approachable are things that they're going to have to continue to try and do. And that's not an easy thing all the time. It requires the players to go along with it. And it really is going to mean, I think a change in how they're presented and how they're marketed.
And see, that's where I guess I was going to go with it, Mari, because I think the NBA has done that smartly as far as marketing their players and having that superstar following, if you will. Then, of course, the NFL, the shield is the thing, but they also, too, have a way of marketing their guys, although the game itself, draws the attention of the younger generation, if you will. But a guy like a Yasiel Puig, who is flamboyant, it seems as though the old guard is stuck in their old ways of tradition and not seeing the bigger picture that, you do want to see a guy kind of be, flipping the bat and, running the bases and not necessarily feeling like a pitcher is too sensitive and feeling like he's showing up and has to throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, at the back of the next guy that's going to be up at the bat.
Yeah, and this is, this is really one of the problems, I think, for baseball is, you touched on two things. First of all, let me mention, I think that in all other sports, for the most part, when you get players out on the field, they're seen on camera during the entire duration that they're there. I mean, you may pan back and do close-ups and whatnot, but you see them on camera a lot. And in baseball, especially on the offensive side, you've only got a guy coming up every, inning and a half, maybe 2 innings sometimes. So the ability to get them on camera isn't as much as you would get certainly in the NBA. And in the NBA, and to a lesser extent the NFL, you can have game changers and major stars that can change game outcome quickly. You can't really get that too much in baseball. You've got some pitchers like, Clayton Kershaw and maybe Felix Hernandez, but even those guys are in the rotation and aren't playing every day. They're not everyday players. So that is one of the problems. As to Yasiel Puig, so here's a guy that would, if he, and this may rub people kind of the wrong way, but I think it speaks to the marketing problem that we see in Americans. He's Latin. He's Cuban. So it's very difficult to right now find somebody that is as marketable as, say, Derek Jeter was, or even Alex Rodriguez to a lesser extent. That is, unfortunately, how Wall Street and marketing is going right now, and that, I think, is one of the larger problems that they're going to have to try and face.
Maury Brown is with us. He's with Forbes, and he's the president of Business of Sports Network. One thing that I have to give credit to Bud Selig for, to an extent, I have to be somewhat cautious here because I think some of this was inevitable in how the market has changed and how the game has changed, and some of it might be pure luck. To me, the biggest problem of baseball 3 to 5 years ago and for a greater portion of time before that was the lack of parity. I looked at the NFL. Besides a lot of things the NFL has going for it, like a huge, huge gambling contingency that follows each and every play and really helps out ratings, in my opinion, but also the parity of the game. I feel right now 28 markets, as the NFL season is set to begin, feel they have a reasonable shot at contending and making it to the postseason. We regularly see in the NFL teams go from first to last and last to first. That has finally come to baseball. It's come late, but it's finally come, and even without a salary cap. And right now, in the last few years, look at the teams contending right now. Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Cleveland made the postseason last year. A game that was so unfair, well-documented through all the conversations of Moneyball and everything else. Well, finally, it's almost like the big boys, Philadelphia, the New Yorks of the world, the Angels, not so much this year, but in the last few years, they've been hindered by their ridiculous spending habits, and that's allowed a door to open for the smaller market clubs. And now you look at the ratings, and I'm going down your list right now, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, all number one in prime time.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess I would go to this. I'm going to quote Stan Kasdan, who's the president of the Dodgers. I was talking to him a couple of winter meetings ago, and I asked him, he had never been in a position like he is with the Dodgers, which is to have, you know, an insane amount of money and flexibility that he had never had before with the Braves and with the Washington Nationals. And I said, you know, you've never been in this position, Stan. How does that make you feel? And he goes, well, Maury, it never hurts to be rich. And he used the word rich, which was kind of surprising. He goes, but you have to be smart first. And in that, you know, in that, I mean, and I think what he was saying was that money does not necessarily buy you championships. You still got to be smart. You can spend unwisely, and you can certainly have albatross contracts around your neck, and we're seeing that right now with the Phillies. And that, I think, is the larger question. You're starting to see more and more teams understand how important their draft picks are and controlling their contracts with their younger players and developing their rosters, as opposed to trying to fill their rosters out completely with veterans, where the money has gotten so large, it's become very difficult. So there's still going to be that economic parity. You're still going to have teams like the Dodgers going out and doing what they're doing right now for their TV deal. And I'm sure that there's, you know, somewhere right now, Stu Sternberg of the Rays is going, I wish I had that problem. But he doesn't, and that's, I think, the parity problem that you see. It's no longer on the field necessarily, but it's certainly there's economic parity. That's one of the problems I think that Rob Manfred is going to have to try and address. And it was one of the things that bit Tom Werner when they had their presentations and Q&As afterwards. He got basically broadsided, apparently, by Bill DeWitt, the owner of the Cardinals, when he asked him about revenue sharing. Well, when he owned the Cardinal or when he owned the Padres, he was very much in for increased revenue sharing. Now that he's part of the Red Sox, he said he was against it. Huh. So that's something that was there.
Funny how that works. Well, Maury, really appreciate it. Great stuff. We'll have you on again soon, I hope. But it should be fascinating to see how it all ends for Bud Selig as the commissioner of baseball. As at his press conference a few days ago, he's excited to leave, he says, and to get into teaching about baseball as a social institution. And then his successor, Rob Manfred, I guess it's a three-year deal. We'll see if he lasts 23 years like Bud.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, that's for sure.
Maury Brown from Forbes, thank you so much. We'll come back with more next here on BAL.